DraftKings podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, where right now you can use code DNVR at sign up and still bet $5 to make $150 in free bets all throughout the NBA Finals. That's with code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter.
And I'm Brendan Vogt.
Brandon Vogete.
Back in the house.
And we've got to talk about, a 4-3 Rockies California road trip. What?
This never happens. This is awesome.
A split in San Diego of a 4-game series. And the first 2-game winning streak in over a month. 35 plus games. It was the worst streak in franchise history. But that has been snapped. That has been snapped on Sunday.
What a day.
It's been since Cinco de Mayo that the Rockies have won 2 in a row.
Yeah, they finally get it done. They're now 27-34, 7 games under 500, 6.5-7 games out of the final wild card spot. But for a team that has struggled at times, you look at the standings and go, hey, not bad for a team that has had some difficulty at times. But then you look at game 2, I mean, even game 1 on Saturday, and we'll get to the entire weekend of games, but particularly on Sunday, what they were able to do in that 4-2 victory. And you go, this team definitely has potential much better than a club 7 games under 500.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is a team that I think is squarely in that kind of like 70 to 75 win range. Yeah. We talked about this off air. They're not a bad team. The blowouts have happened, but there are so many games, maybe not series, but any given game in a vacuum where they seem like they are competitive and they rarely have talent advantages and they haven't always been sharp, but they have put themselves in a position to win an awful lot of these games. And so looking at the standings, well, that's one thing because that division is a nightmare and probably not going to make much noise anyway. But compared to where things looked like they were headed, when the team looked like it was ready to maybe let go of the rope and things were really ready to bottom out, but they held on, and this road trip shows some fight and some willingness not to just roll over.
This was kind of a pivotal week for them. I'm not going to say make or break, do or die, but you know, at some point, you know, when you look over the course of a 162 game season, there's certain things that you have to pinpoint and look at to reflect on and say, ah, this may be where it was lost. I mean, just can't forget that series in the middle of June against the Padres back in 2019, where the Rockies had the wild card spot, and I think they end up splitting and they blew all kinds of leads, and we saw that frustration. There were slammed doors in that clubhouse, and the season was not the same. We know they didn't make the postseason there in 2019. It was lost. It was almost known at that spot that it was lost. And we could have had that this week, but they rebounded after that 4-game losing streak to Atlanta, who still hasn't lost up to that point, at least going into Sunday, since then. So now there's another giant in the NL East.
Yeah.
But the Rockies, they had to do it. At Susie, I think we said, if you can get 2 wins, you can win a game in each of these series. That's something. They went and they doubled that. 4-3 in 7 games.
I mean, I said going in, just like especially after losing 4 to the Braves, it's like, you know what? I'm like, if we get 1 on the road, I would be happy with the 1 on the road. Right. It was just like, I am not feeling great. And to leave this series with the Rockies having won more than they lost, that's a really nice feeling.
Yeah, I was even ready to zoom in even further and just say, can one or two players play well, right? Get things going in the right direction. Not even really worried so much about results, but best of both worlds as, you know, the bats wake up a little bit and you win the road trip. Kind of hard to believe, but that was a successful, it was a gut punch, an early gut punch. You hope they don't come that early but in the season, but it did, and the Rockies steeled up.
Yeah, the bats might not have been explosive to the tune of tacos, right?
Sure.
Not 7 runs, but again, on the road.
On the road, though.
That was kind of just enough of what you might need. And, you know, you also, as you mentioned, you need somebody to step up. There were 3 players who stepped up, but ultimately, majority decided, today's DraftKings Sportsbook, king of the game, Jonathan Daza, goes 3-for-5, scores an important run there early on in the game to give the Rockies a nice little lead. But most importantly, he took a run off the board with a catch that goes up there. Probably not as nice of a grab as that Randall Grichuk play out in right center field. That was in Texas there. I believe that was in game 4. But this one pulled back a home run, kept them, you know, with the lead. It just a great play. And so he was head and shoulders a little bit above, just enough to be the DraftKings Sportsbook king of the game. He was great.
I mean, yeah, this was also a tough call. I mean, we talked about Marquez too, especially. I mean, we'll get into him too, because we're finally seeing the Marquez we know and love. Yeah. But Jonathan Daza just was so great today. So electric.
And he did it because Charlie Blackman was out, right? So, yeah. I mean, day off, great, fine. But instead of batting fifth like he had been, which was really weird, I tweeted that out on Saturday, that your cleanup hitter, 14 home runs, your number five hitter, zero.
Yeah.
And then he goes and Daza bats second. And they go, okay, that's all right. We're going to have a different number five hitter, Jose Iglesias. And his zero home runs, which that's kind of baseball in 2022 a little bit. Mm. The zero home runs, the discrepancy between your fourth hitter and your fifth hitter is kind of weird. Yeah. But he does that and sets the table in a real big way. You also have to give a nice nod to Ryan McMahon, who had that huge defensive play. Made a couple of nice plays, but one real big one, right?
That was a beaut. That diving play. Oof.
And that two RBI double that gave them the lead there in the eighth in such a big spot with two outs. So very clutchy game by McMahon. Yeah.
We love run Mac doubles too, especially when they're productive.
Yeah, the defense was all around a plus for the Rockies today, which is fun to say again. Some timely double plays, but some clutch individual plays that we just mentioned there. A lot of guys stepped up today. This was a game that it could easily be 4-2 San Diego, it feels like. So you're thrilled to see it go Colorado's way.
Yeah, they've had a lot of those kind of close games where you're right, it goes the opposite way. I think maybe it was game one. The Padres only had three hits. I don't know, one of the games the Padres had three hits, and it was very rare to lose a game where you only give up three hits, right? I was crunching some numbers because it seems like there have been a lot of games this year, those games you can win. Right? There's a baseball adage that a third of the games you're going to win, a third you're going to lose, and then really it's what happens in the other third, right? The 54 games.
Right.
What's going to happen there that decides, you know, whether or not you're going to the postseason or not. And I think all of those games, it's gone down to defense. When the Rockies' defense doesn't show up, they lose. And when the other team's defense doesn't show up, we saw it in San Francisco where they made four errors. It was the same thing. So I went and I crunched the numbers.
Oh my gosh, he did.
I had to go, no spreadsheet. Stathead, a.k.a. Pathead. Thanks to Ryan Herrera over there at CHGO Cubs. But when the Rockies have made three or more errors, going back to 1993, 262 winning percentage. So they've only won 37 out of 141 games. So really bad. And then the opposite is true. When the opponent has made three or more errors, Colorado is 726. So 143 out of 197 games. So it's actually happened more that the defense has done it, which speaks to the fact that Rockies have typically had really solid defense throughout most of their franchise.
This is good to know. And don't sleep when you're playing the Rockies, you know?
But it's really been a splinter this year, and it definitely feels like the swing factor right now in any one game that they play. And I've used this line several times on the show, but competitive but not sharp, and that is maybe the best example you can point to of how that manifests and what that looks like.
Yeah, I like how you phrase that too, competitive but not sharp, because the games where they're making those errors, they're not. They're on the border of competitiveness. Clearly not sharp.
Sure.
But they're not being competitive. And that's, again, that's the difference between being a 75-win team versus being an 85-win team.
Exactly. Yep.
They're still without Chris Bryant. We've got some news on him. But we've got news on the Stanley Cup Finals. We got a date. Wednesday, it's going down. Wednesday night. We're going to be open here down the corner of Colfax, New York, at the DNVR bar, where, you know, if you're a member, even if you're not a member right now, and you go and sign up for 50 cents for your first month, you're still going to get in to get that member-sized beer. You can get some good price breaks on all the different things we've got going on with tailgates, party buses, you name it, all throughout the year. You're going to get those extra raffle tickets as well at the watch party, so you can win some more free gear when you're down here at the bar. And you get all of our great written content and you name it. Exclusive access to us on the members-only Discord. That's the dnvr.com. Now only 50 cents for your first month. And as we said at the top of the show, NBA Finals is still going on. 2-2 right now, so it's a pretty good one. Entertaining, wouldn't you say, Brendan?
Oh, really entertaining. And I feel like the Nuggets are in it because I want the Celtics to lose that badly. And I am up there sweating it out with the actual fans of these two teams. But it's been a fun series and a big Game 5 coming up tomorrow.
So when you sign up using code DNVR and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, you make a $5 bet and you pick the winner, you get $150 in free bets. If you have got same game parlays, if you have three or more legs and one of them doesn't pay out, you actually get $25 back. It's a great way to hedge your bet.
That happened to me very recently.
And so are you betting with more of your heart than your head? Because it sounds like you said, you want the Warriors to win, not
absolutely
the Celtics.
Absolutely, and I don't recommend that. But when you have little promos coming to you from our friends at DraftKings, there are ways to recoup your money, ways to hit on some no-brainers when they come your way.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Again, use promo code DNVR, where your $5 bet can turn into $150 in free bets. If you pick the winner at any point of the NBA Finals, must be 21 or older. Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We did it last week when I said take the Avs in game one, not just the win, not just the money line, but giving away a goal and a half, so you get a better payout. They ended up winning. Big one. We all got tacos, right? 8-6 W against the Oilers. We're going to have to do that again in the finals. Obviously, our hearts and our minds both see a much better Colorado Avalanche team. But if you want some payout, because if you pick them to win, I think it's minus 180 right now in DraftKings Sportsbook. But if you're trying to win some dough on top of feeling really good about it, you pick the amount of games that the Avs are going to win in. And so I'm going with 5 games.
Wow.
And if I'm right on that, that is plus 400.
Ooh.
So don't just bet the team to win the cup. Do it in 5 games.
Patty
and it's going to be plus 400.
Patty bets.
If you want to sweep, it's plus 800.
Pat King Sportsbook.
That could happen. Do it. So my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week is the Avs to win the Stanley Cup Finals in 5 games, plus 500. Lock it in. See you at the parade.
Lock it in. Ooh. What a heat check.
Oh, my gosh.
What a heat
check. The enthusiasm here.
Let's go.
Pure fire sign energy right here.
I am enthusiastic about the starting rotation because that's been the defense has let the Rockies down time and time again this season. Can't happen, but you're starting to see, you know, the chinks in the armor, if you will, and you say, you know what? Okay, maybe this team wasn't going to be as good as we had hoped defensively, but the rotation, come on. We've been through this before. It's why 69.5 wins was too low. DraftKings Sportsbook, thanks for the money there. Obviously, we're taking the over on that. Still, that's a gimme. And it's all because of the starting rotation. We've been through this.
Right.
They had been disappointing. And on this road trip, outside of Chad Kuhl, you got a quality start from everyone in the rotation to get things back on track.
And I know I mentioned this a little bit before, but it's so nice to see Herman Marquez pitching like the Herman Marquez we know and love. This is huge. And I feel bad for not giving him the up arrow in our game the other day. But
I feel like we can now, right?
I feel okay doing
right,
that.
It constitutes
my apologies
an
to
upswing.
To the whole Marquez family.
And really, that's all that it was speculated that he needed. Because he had plenty of those just plain old quality start or close, like quality, you know, sometimes a Coors Field quality start can be 5 innings pitched, 4 runs. Like sometimes that, you know, it's 1 inning off, right? Instead of 6-3, it's 5-4. But he had a lot of 6-4s going out there or 4 run innings, and it just wasn't enough to help out his confidence at all. And I think that start that we saw to start this road trip, it was just a quality start. It was 6 innings, 3 earned runs, but it was enough for the Rockies right there and to go ahead and win that game 1 against San Francisco. And everyone else really, again, outside of Chad Kuhl, they were all able to do it.
Right.
The group of 5 of the 6 starters gave up 3 runs or less, and everyone but Freeland had recorded 5-7 strikeouts in their start. Season high, 6 strikeouts for Antonio Senzatella. This is precisely what the Rockies needed to salvage this season and say, all right, they've now bought 2-3 more weeks of keeping an eye on them and not totally writing them off yet. It's still an uphill battle, no doubt. But now they're coming back home, 3 against Cleveland, 3 more against the Padres. You shove again. This is what they needed.
Yeah, for sure. And especially heading into this season, you know, on paper, this rotation looked amazing. And then for them to not be performing up to those expectations early on in the season like we're at now, that was frustrating. But now I feel like, okay, we're back on track.
Definitely. And yeah. And Chad Kuhl, the one guy who didn't do it recently also deserves credit for being the guy who hang in there and was the best pitcher to start the season while they waited for the top of the rotation to get some feet underneath them. And then Herman, you just want to see him pitching confidently because his stuff is electric, even if it has looked a little flatter of late. And he is the guy that has that potential to really, I think, of any Rocky starter to wow you. You want to see him get back in the right direction with just quality starts first and foremost. But build on that, pitch confidently, because he's the one guy to me that has the potential to be more than just a quality start guy, but thank God he's on the mound tonight kind of guy.
You know, and this is good timing too, because isn't his bobblehead giveaway on Saturday?
Bingo.
There we go.
All signs are pointing to a trend up.
Okay, let's go.
He's starting that game too. I mean, if I'm looking ahead using my crystal ball and trying to think of the rotation, he would be starting. It's similar to Kyle Freeland starting on the City Connect day.
Mm. Yo, so, we like that good timing.
Good things usually happen. Like I'm sure there's a page
out
there.
Knock on wood.
You do a quick Google search of players and what they did on their bobblehead day. I'll never forget going to a Phillies game. It was Shane Victorino Hula doll. Ooh. Hula bobblehead.
Oh, wow.
And I think he had a walk-off home run.
Yo, bring that bobblehead in. I want to see it.
I got there late. I did not get
it.
I was not amongst the first 15,000.
Oh, that hurts.
Yes.
That hurts a lot.
That was a toughie. I got a lot of other ones. I got a weird Aaron Nola one at a Lehigh Valley game. We'll have to tap into that. There were a lot of weird things that usually seems to happen on these weekend series. We'll see. We'll do our best to cover all of them. Like Carlos Estevez pitching in both ends of a doubleheader, which I thought was almost like an impossibility in 2022. But he was on the mound for the final pitch in both game one and game two. Game one, you had the error by Elias Diaz. So a walk-off win for the Padres. The second time Estevez was on the mound for a walk-off error in extra innings this week.
That's fun.
And then he goes and he closes the door there. Not a save opportunity, but does it in game two. So that was weird and really nice to see Estevez finally be able to shake his catcher's hand and say, hey, we did it together.
Yes.
And not, sorry, guys, even though it's not his fault. But
sure.
He got hung with two losses this week when he didn't deserve either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, losing on an error like that is tough, but it was nice that we turned it around.
It was not nice of us to have jinxed Connor Joe.
Oh. Ooh, yeah. Us or our graphics department?
I think we put the request in. So
we shift the blame.
I would love to shift the blame. Thanks.
We had like 36 hours of conversations. Like, all right, let's roll this out. I'm like, we got t-shirt potential here. It was a TSP situation, t-shirt potential. And I was like, we got to get it going. And then he's got one more AB. Hold on with the request. All right, just forget it now. So we put up a big graphic for his 35 game on base consecutive streak.
And then it
ended.
You know, in my philosophy studies, Patrick, I read a lot about the alleged impossibilities of a private language. How for something to be a language, it by definition cannot be private. But you put this to the test, my friend, because sometimes you have a whole just lexicon. You say things and they're not expressions to anyone else but you. You'll be like, TSP, that's t-shirt potential. You're like, that's not a thing. You made that up right now.
Yeah.
There's a whole language to you, Patrick.
Right.
And you're the only one that speaks it.
Some people do. It's like it's a 5-6 year journey.
Okay.
It's definitely a master's course. Like it will take a while where I'll say those things. You're like, that is a crazy stat. Can you believe it? Like, no, clearly that couldn't have been a fact. Like, obvious. What? No. Why would you have believed that? And then there are other things you go, is that a joke? No. It's really the first time in 35 games they've won back-to-back
nights. Yeah, I'm learning how to work with you.
I'm still learning how to read, Patrick. Yeah, but that was very well put.
Thank you. Brandon Vogete.
We're going to have to revisit that. You know what? Just for that, we're going to revisit that. Did anybody else think that there was that potential for Jose Iglesias to make the Javi Baez base running play of the year in game one, where he ran back to second base and Machado had the the ball and was like, all right, well, I know you got to come this way. All right, whatever. And then he tried to dive around him and almost got in.
It was really close.
I love that. I love that he tried that.
And it was so funny, too. And I love when weird things like that happen in baseball, because that is just what makes baseball so much fun.
Very true.
It was fun, but it wasn't embarrassing. And that's the key.
I don't know. This dates back to my Little League days, but I have such a naive hope for the runner in those situations. Yeah. You know what I mean? I always have this hope for the biggest juke you've ever seen in your life. And I always believe in those guys stuck out there in no man's land.
I'm curious if someone spoke to Iglesias after Friday night, because there was a play where I think he hit a ground ball to the pitcher. Maybe it was the first baseman. And he stopped short of first base. And I was like, oh, here we go. We could have something. You know, he's probably going to be out because no one's going to make that same play again like we saw last year in Pittsburgh with Javi Baez. But he turned around and then walked back to the dugout, and he wasn't called out yet. And again, he was going to be called out unless one in a billion thing happened. So I'm wondering if someone talked to him and just said, just finish the play. Like, just get tagged, or if you stop where you're at, wait to see what they do, and then keep going. So that kind of, you know, almost manifested itself. Do we know if the Padres manager has COVID or may have COVID? It was weird. Between games one and game two.
That's weird.
The Bob Melvin of the Padres no longer could manage because he didn't. I don't believe he's on the COVID IL, but he did, quote, enter COVID protocol.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The word protocol is key here.
Did he take a PCR in between games? Is that part of the protocol? That was just really strange. So, of course, you had him and his bench coach were both out. And so who would you guess would be like the third string? Like, if we're doing chain of command after the bench coach, who do you think would be the next logical person to be the manager?
Third base coach?
I like that. Yes. Who's probably a hitting coach or a defensive fielding coach of some sort. That I would go along with that. So for the Padres, it was their quality control coach.
Huh.
Which.
Well, that's quite the jump.
Is a weird thing. Yeah, Ryan Flaherty, former big leaguer. Kind of, yeah. If you look on their listing of coaches, he is towards the bottom. But I think if you're the quality control, I don't know what that job is. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna go ahead and try to speculate. I think you're doing a little bit of everything, but you're also just going around asking those questions. But why? Why is that important? Is that a good, you know, it's like the scene in an Office Space. So what is it that you do here, Bob? So that's what he said to Bob Melvin, I'm imagining. And then he said, okay, I'm going to be the manager.
Yeah, I really do wonder what the chain of command is with that.
Bud Black was asked before the game, Jerry Schemmel asked him on KOA. And obviously it would be Mike Redmond, who's managed before in the past when Bud Black was unavailable. And he didn't give a definitive answer. He said, well, Darryl Scott, he's the pitching coach. He'll make the pitching decisions, which now, because in the past in National League Baseball, you take a pitcher out and you're like, oh, well, you just killed my double switch because we're going to put a left fielder in defensively, right, to change a spot in the order. Now with the DH, it's a non-factor. He'll deal with the pitchers, and then Stu Cole and Ron Gideon will kind of arm wrestle to make the decisions. It'll be a group effort, group think situation.
Hey, are you ready for a description that doesn't help you at all?
Sure. Ooh.
Wikipedia tells me that an MLB quality control coach, their primary duties include preparing for the game by analyzing game film for statistical analysis. That is an empty sentence.
Wow.
I'm no closer to the answer than I was before. Almost. Yeah, I guess so.
That was very strange. All right, so if we're speaking about chain of command, if President Tyler Kinley is on the IL, which we did get news on Sunday, he went to the IL. Rookie Chad Smith is back up. Chad Smith, Brendan, what are we giving that name on? I don't know if we want to put it on a scale. Is that just a kind of pedestrian name? Does it sound like more of a tight end out of, you know,
Chad Smith,
University of Utah, BYU? What kind of a name is that? I don't know.
It kind of gives me like a Dude, Where's My Car vibes, you know? Ooh, Chad Smith, just like 90s white guy, oversized clothes.
All right, we'll have to get you here onto the IMDb page of Dude, Where's My Car. Was Ashton Kutcher's character named Chad Smith? Or was it Sean William Scott? Was he the other one? Who was the other guy that was in it?
Oh, you know who Chad Smith is? He's the isn't he the drummer for the Chili Peppers?
Yes.
Oh,
that's right. He's the one who looks like Will Ferrell.
Who looks like Will Ferrell.
Looks a lot like Will
Ferrell. It's so scary how much he looks like Will Ferrell.
He is Will Ferrell, just so you guys know.
I mean, have you ever seen them in the same room?
No. No, I
haven't. As I said that, I looked them up, and there's a picture of both of them.
So. No, I hate that they met. This ruins my theory.
So President Kinley is out now and on the IL. Yes.
Does he have a vice president?
That's the question, right? Right. Like, who has a vice presidential type name?
Is it just Susie?
On the Rockies.
is Susie just the president now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Lucas Gilbreth almost sounds like it's very vice presidential.
Since you brought up Lucas Gilbreth, I want to mention a funny tweet that I saw from a couple of, I mean, I guess a week or so ago at this point. Right.
You're going to say this on air? Okay.
I am going to say it. Someone tweeted that Gilbreth would be a devastating name for a fish. Devastating was the key word
Susie's
that ended
really
me.
Excited about this.
I think it's so funny. I don't think it's a burn. I think it's so funny.
No, right. I mean, that's what.
Oh.
If a fish was saying that to another fish, that's a burn. Right?
Wow. Yeah, you're right. No. Yeah. That's true.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I needed to get that out. And I'm not sorry.
It is a name that you could probably fake a lot of people into thinking was a vice president.
Yeah.
At one point.
For sure.
Lucas Gilbert, I think yeah. so.
If that was if you nice gave me logical. True or false, I'd probably guess true.
Chad Smith.
That.
No.
No.
Just.
But if you said Lucas Gilbreth was a vice president at one point, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely.
I would buy that.
I'd buy that.
Who's the president? Millard Fillmore? Yeah, I'm throwing around Millard Fillmore references, folks. If you had that on your bingo card, you can cross it off. All right. Speaking of crossing things off, one of the best stories from Friday night, Chad Kuhl, he may have been hung with a loss on Friday night, but he was not hung with a loss in the game within a game, tic-tac-toe. How great was that? Joe Musgrove went out first inning. Now, this was the move. You don't just set up the tic-tac-toe board because it just looks like maybe you were doing something with your cleats. And you don't just leave it there for the other guy to assume what was happening. You make the first move, and you don't just make any first move. You don't go in the center. You take one of the corners, and you're really luring the guy in like, huh? You're just going to leave that center square just wide open? It was great.
First of all, corner square is a great first move.
No,
that's my first move.
No way.
Center square is for losers, honestly. If you start a tic-tac-toe game like that, get out of here. You don't know what you're doing.
I haven't played enough tic-tac-toe in my life to have a strong opinion on it.
I played some tic-tac-toe on Friday night because you can go onto Google and type in tic-tac-toe and there's a tic-tac-toe game on Google.
That
pull
sounds
it up,
right.
Pull it up.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
I think we need to have a poll after this. Like, who had the worst takes? I don't know what takes I've had yet that are the worst, but going in the center is not the move. And then I've never played enough tic-tac-toe games in my life. What were your games as a kid, Brendan? To kill time.
Video
in
games?
In class. Mm. No, but in class.
In class.
All you have is
doodle
paper.
Jump, bro. I was the whoa, eye touch that? Generation.
What's doodle jump?
What's
what?
You don't know what doodle jump is? It's like one of the first mobile game sensations. It was
we're
like the one where you
on what device?
Pencil and paper.
No, I'm saying I didn't play pencil and paper.
He lives in a post-pencil and paper
generation. I'm a digital
native,
bro.
Are we uncovering the fact that Brendan Vogt came from the first ever STEM school in New Jersey? Like, what? How do you not have a pen and paper to just doodle and do stuff?
I wasn't much of an arts guy, art and craft guy.
You were paying attention in school?
No, I was playing on my phone, Patrick. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Oh, trying to tell you desperately.
All right. Well, I guess so. I mean, that's like that generation gap. Like
this is a very clear indication of the gap.
That blew my mind. I guess there you go. So no Hangman?
Oh, I did play a little bit of Hangman.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that was your game?
I recently played Hangman on a date night with Michelle.
Oh,
they left crayons on the table. Yeah, I thought it was adorable. She didn't.
That's amazing. Yeah,
all right. I like that.
Are you competitive when it comes to like board games?
I'm
and
competitive
stuff like
about
that?
Everything, unfortunately.
Wow.
I don't think I am, you know, and then it starts.
And then it clicks when you're in that competition.
I don't know if I'm competitive or if I'm just I'm a sore loser. I'm a bad loser. I don't like
so you just say, I just better win at this then.
Yeah,
so
I'm cool. I'm like, oh, I'll just play. It'll just be fun until I realize I'm losing and then
it feels
on.
Bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I don't get the validation of winning, I crumble.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm pretty crazy competitive. But I wouldn't, if I was playing with my wife, I wouldn't have done Brendan's move of like using a Latin phrase in the game, like Vinny, Vinny, Dici.
Yeah, yeah.
Vinny,
oh,
Vinny,
I went,
Vinny, Dici,
I'm not
whatever.
Trying to lose on date night.
And you're like, hey,
Hangman.
Man, come on. Yeah. It's out there. It's a common Latin term.
Actually, her real response was, can you please stop playing with crayons? You're like 30. So I'm going to try to focus up on
what
the
were
next
you playing
date
with?
Night. Crayons. I say crayons.
You went crayons on that.
I do. I say that crayons. Are you a crayon? Is it crayon?
It's crayon.
I go crayon.
Yeah.
But no, crayon is one of the two acceptable terms, like caramel and caramel.
No, it's caramel. Those are the letters in the word.
I say caramel too.
Yeah, because those are the letters in the word.
It's accepted, though.
We found
it's
something accepted. Susie's passionate about.
But
to be fair, every single one of you guys is from the East Coast.
No, but I'm saying the word caramel has an A in there. You can't pronounce it caramel because you're just skipping over a whole letter.
Caramel?
Since we're doing letter corner here. this is, I'm sorry, Rockies fans. But
never apologize.
Brett Favre, his name's not Favre, and we've all just been running with it for his entire life.
You know what? That's fair, but...
There should be... I'm with Susie. There should be implications to where you put letters.
Implications.
Okay? There are consequences to this.
There we go.
All right. This kind of blew my mind if we're talking about weird and wild stats and figures. Mm-hmm. The first ever doubleheader the Rockies ever played in was in 1993. It was in August, and it was against San Diego in San Diego.
Oh.
That was the only doubleheader they've ever played in San Diego before Saturday.
That's wild.
Right?
That is weird.
It doesn't rain in San Diego? I mean, kind of doesn't, but
not yet. Actually, kind of no. Not really.
So it almost makes sense. But and so really, you could still say a true doubleheader hasn't been played since that first year, because this was only scheduled because the first week of games was canceled.
Yeah.
So this wasn't a rain out that they're making up.
Mm-hmm.
So they, 1993, August 6th, they had to make it up, and they have yet to have to make up another game in San Diego before.
Patrick, I would call that weird, wild, and wonderful.
It's all of those things.
Almost sounds like a segment. Weird, wild, and wonderful.
All right. Before we're off the rails, we might as well get back to it.
Yes.
Should we get back on the rails?
We're going to get back off.
Perfect. I love being off the rails.
So I thought about this because Brandon's you've been coming on and you're dipping your toes in the baseball and the basketball water.
That's right.
He's just water, also playing tic-tac-toe
water.
Over
I was,
here.
Actually. I was. And I didn't win. Played against the computer.
The computer? Oh, my gosh.
I didn't lose, though.
Okay, that's fine.
We washed.
Because you never used pencil and paper to ever play a game like Dots, which was favorite games.
Which one Dots?
You just make our like 10 by 10 rows of dots, and you connect the dots, and if you complete a box, you put your letter inside the box.
I've never played Dots.
I filled up a whole notebook with my best friend in high school.
That's adorable, Patrick.
It was fantastic. But then by the time you get to the end, because if you make two boxes, you can give somebody else the opportunity to make four boxes. So by the end, it's really who can find an open spot that doesn't lead to a box. It's a great game. Cootie Catchers, do we remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Cootie Catchers I played, of course.
We called them fortune tellers, though.
That might be more politically correct. I mean, I thought Cootie Catcher is just the germs cootie.
Yeah.
No, that's what we called them, but you're probably right.
No, they were on a sliding scale of wokeness. Back in Philly, they were fortune tellers.
Fortune tellers.
I like that. Okay. All right. So people would be interested to know, because we're talking about him and his name on last week's show on Thursday or Friday's podcast. If you're not watching live or after
what
it's
are you
live,
doing if you're not
on
watching
YouTube,
live
on DNVR Sports Channel. But Nikola Jokic, people would be surprised to know the Nuggets could possibly draft another guy named Nikola Jokic.
Jovic. With a V.
Same spelling.
No,
with a different letter. Different letter.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's one different letter.
Oh, this just totally blows up this whole game.
No. It's close enough, though. It's Jovic. It's
really?
Yeah, instead of Jokic, it's Jovic.
Look at that. Okay.
That's so funny. But that's still
that's why I'm here.
It's so close that it's hilarious.
It's insane. And they've never talked to each other, which I did not expect. Both being phenoms.
Are they both from Serbia?
Yeah. And they never talked to each other.
Wow, how about that?
I feel like Serbia's not big enough for two guys that to have not been in touch.
Yeah, exactly, right? In the basketball world, you'd think, but
would think.
No relationship, no relation. That hasn't stopped a lot of Nuggets fans from wanting them to draft him just for the vibes.
Yeah.
Which you can't really blame them for, you know?
I mean, this whole city's kind of running on vibes, so.
That's right.
Why not?
So, I used a website. I don't know what it's called, and I don't know what information they've now gotten from me. But I found that there are, I think it's according to a recent census, five people in the U.S. with the name Nikola Jokic.
Really?
What? Yes.
So, rank the people on the set right now. Whose name is more common? Brendan Vogt?
Oh.
Suzanne Hunter? Or Patrick Lyons?
Oh, this is why you were asking what my real name is.
Yeah, I figured it out, but still needed to get your approval.
I mean, that's why you were going through my wallet, so looking at my driver's license earlier.
That's why you were going through my mail in my trash.
I had to come up with this quick segment as an alibi. No, I have a game I'm coming up with.
Yeah.
So rank it. Who do you think has the most common name in the U.S.?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you going with Ms. Hunter?
And then Patrick.
Than me, and then you're gonna go yours.
I would do Patrick, then me, because there aren't a lot of Suzannes, but there are a lot of Patricks.
But we're doing both names,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you're right. Because Suzanne specifically.
Yeah, that's a very. It's not a very common name.
Yeah, maybe. I just felt like your last name would come up a good amount.
Mm-hmm. So that opens it up to more, right? There's more Hunters. There's
I know
the Suzanne possibilities.
But AKA I think
SPs.
I think. Patrick, there are more Patrick Lyons than Susie Hunters.
Okay, your point.
Or Susie's Hunter versus Patrick's Lyon.
Sorry. I'm not I'm sure off the what rails. I would have had us as actually being very close.
Yeah.
Because I know of a few like Patrick. I have a cousin with the exact same name.
There's so one. It's, we know
it's,
of at
it's
least
deceivingly
one.
Common. And so I probably would have had us in front of Brendan Vogt. So the most popular name, 208 in the U.S. as of like the last census. Suzanne Hunter.
Let's go.
Huh.
Yes.
Vote Stradamus.
Second.
No.
Sorry.
With 98.
Don't let other people
and
do
one
that
of them
to me.
Shout out to Patrick Lyons on Twitter who follows me.
I was going
to
say, there's another Patrick Lyons that I know follows
DNVR. In the
Rockies
community. What's up, Patrick? 98.
No, 98. That is not US. Fair.
And
no freaking way.
All right. So now let's see how close we can get to Brendan Vogt's. You hear? You want to toss out a guess? How many Brendan Vogts are there?
I want to say there's five.
It should really be one letter off of vote, since the whole thing of Nikola Jokic and Nikola Jovic is off by one letter. But we're going to go with how many Brendan Vogts do you think there are in the U.S.?
I will say there is a Brennan Vogt spelled all the exact same way, but it's a D. It's a second N instead of a D. Brennan Vogt. Who blogs about the Avalanche, and he lives in Denver.
Oh, yeah, you guys are starting a pod together, right? Yeah,
it's really weird.
I didn't know that.
Sorry, Yahir. I didn't mean to steal your moment, bud.
You already did, man. I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay, cool.
I'm guessing around 500.
No.
What?
Okay, so you think it's more common than both ours. All right. Oh, so he just thinks I got curveball vibes. Okay,
yep.
That's what you hear going.
Oh, right, because we can never predict what Patrick is doing
right.
or thinking
and you
at
know
any
what?
Given
now that
time.
He says that, I
I'm going to have you guys close your laptops just here so that we don't have any cheating over here.
No, I'm not cheating, and Brendan is still playing
tic-tac-toe.
Brendan STEM school votes.
Still trying to figure out what the right first
move is. What's the number? Come on.
37.
Okay.
I think there are five Brendan
votes. The answer is five.
What?
No way.
Five. She got it.
She was cheating.
I didn't look it up. No, I swear.
No
five.
God, I didn't look it up.
Wait, push the mics away and shout.
Look at the chat, too. James Partney snuck it in there.
James, nailed it.
Why do you guys both know that?
It's a good guess.
Oh, listen, Brendan.
Because I'm also, oh my gosh.
If one of you is out there listening, watching.
Any of the Brendan votes.
Remember, shots. If you are a member to the DNVR.com now, only 50 cents for your first month, you get a member-sized beer. Also, if your name is Brendan Vogt, we will hook you up with a member-sized beer. Those are the perks you get
That
by being
a
member and being named Brendan Vogt.
That should be a promotion, actually.
Five. Wait, so my quest
Brendan
to be...
Brendan Vogt night.
I full-on screamed into the microphone.
I can't believe you got that
right. I hope your eardrums are okay.
I was shouting up here, so I think it's okay.
I screamed right into this thing.
Dude, my quest to be the most niche famous Brendan Vogt in the United States is extremely attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
There's only five?
You're already in the top five, bro.
Dude.
Let's go.
But then again, I feel like I'm the most famous Susie Hunter.
You might be. I'm gonna Google Susie Hunter.
So that was the whole thing I was thinking about in my drive down to the bar. I'm like,
I think I'm also the most famous Suzanne Hunter.
There are 208 Suzanne Hunters,
mm-hmm.
but there's only one Susie Hunter.
I mean, there's actually so I think like 10 Susie Hunters okay, or something right, well like that. But
all right, well now we can't use this clip. Great. All right.
No, delete the whole show.
That was
actually,
be for social, I thought it was.
Oh, there's an American author and former journalist. So we'll have to see if
named,
you can upstage
is
her.
That me?
Suzanne Hunter. No, it's not you.
Because I'm also a Well, soon to be author.
Oh, that's true.
And journalist.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's not you. Oh, that's fun.
I've never heard of this other Suzanne Hunter.
Oh, you learn something new every day.
What if it's just you in a different dimension and it's just like writing everything you're doing?
Yo, that would happen in 2022, though.
So, wait, how many Chris Bryants are there, and do you think any other of them are good at baseball? And will they play for the Rockies?
And are they healthy? Well, he's back. He was swinging. He was doing some dry swings. He was taking some tosses. So, he traveled with exciting. The team. Mm-hmm. So that's something. That's definitely something positive. You hear your suggestion about alternate dimensions was brought to you by Ripple Dissolvables and Light Shade Dispensary.
Unbelievable.
It was kind of out there, but I like it. Right now, you can get 25% off when you go into any of Light Shade's 11 Denver metro area dispensaries. It's a great place to walk in, get a new product, find out what's new, what kind of deals they got, especially if you don't know a ton. And even if you do know a ton, they might put you onto something even better. I do it when I'm going to different coffee roasteries, things of that nature. It's just a tip. It's like when you go to a nice restaurant, you go, you tell, like,
what's good here?
Yeah.
What's good?
Specials is where I was looking for.
Oh, what are the specials?
But I always like to ask, what do you like? And you're like, oh, well, the best thing that we got. That's what you should get.
Not, I just go,
I'll just get the chicken.
Good?
Yeah, I'll
what's
just get good? The chicken fingers. And you're like, dude, find out what's best there, and they will hook you up. And that's what Light Shade Dispensary is going to do. They're also going to give you 25% off with code DNVR. The 6th Ave location is 8 minutes away.
Nice.
Super, super close. And then when you get the munchies, naturally, you're going to go over to Sexy Pizza.
Yes.
And you got a couple more hours left. If you're watching this live, you can use code DNVRAVS to take 15% off your order. But if you're listening to this as a podcast, don't fret, because you know what? At least you'll be able to pick one up at any of their 4 Denver metro area locations. We're talking South Pearl, Jefferson Park, Park Hill, and Capitol Hill. It's as local can get. They're also supporting your local charities. Check out their donations link page, their about page on www.sexy.pizza.
Best URL in the game.
It is.
Easily.
Easily.
Easily. Do we know if sexy.pizza.com was taken? That's what I want to know. Is that possible? Are you allowed to do that with websites? Brendan STEM School vote?
I'm just looking it up. I'm just typing that into.
Okay,
so it can't be reached. So
someone's
no.
Someone's getting a virus. But you will not when you go to Sexy Pizza.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of weird results here.
They also have one down in Trinidad, too. So help them out and do that. Yeah, there were a couple other Rockies notes. Yes, we've got still more Rockies talk before we go off the rails again. We brought it back. We found our way back.
It's just one of those days.
Alex Colome, we got to give him a shout out. He's been fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole bullpen was
fast.
Fantastic.
Well, yes. Faster.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
I think Ty Block was the only one who gave up a run this the entire time, and he had to go in to log multiple innings on Friday night. Otherwise, bullpen was perfect in, 24 innings? Something like that. 24 innings in California. They didn't give up a run. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was the real surprise to me on this road trip. You definitely were sort of holding your breath for the other foot to drop in those 6, 7, 8 innings, and it just didn't really materialize. So, again, like what we talked about in the beginning, it's cool to see them get the results. 4-3 is the most important part. But there are a lot of individuals or facets of the team where you go, oh, that looked good over the course of these 7 games. Yeah. I feel encouraged about the next 2-3.
Very encouraged. Mm-hmm. Also, big shout out to new member of the 40-man roster, Jake Bird.
Jake Bird,
First Chad Smith, now Jake Bird. Rocky's saving a lot of money on the backs of their jerseys. It's one of the reasons why they never acquired Jared Saltalamacchia. But
that's
Jake
it.
Bird, Julian Fernandez.
That's why.
My favorite baseball name.
The best baseball.
Whenever I try to order a jersey with my Twitter handle on it, I ask for the Saltalamacchia arc.
I like
it's
that.
It's good.
It's awesome.
Julian Fernandez, unfortunately, designated for assignment. We'll wait to see what happens. I don't think anyone has claimed him just yet, so you may stay in the organization. Big fireballer. Just can't throw strikes as frequently as you would like for a guy who's been clocked at 103, 104 miles an hour. Elias Montero, or E. Montero, as we should just safely call him.
Montero.
Was sent
as
back
he
down.
Calls himself.
Yeah. He was sent back down to AAA. So it was Justin Lawrence,
Montero.
The 27th man. But Jake Bird, he hasn't debuted yet. He was from he's from California, so it would have been cool if his family got to see him make his debut. Mm. But he was there in the purple, and we'll get a chance to see him on this homestand. dude, man, I he wasn't even invited to the big league camp, which I was shocked because he was really good last year in Double A, even when we went to Triple A, and in the Arizona Fall League. So it's gonna be really exciting to see Jake Bird. He's got the goods as a reliever, so I'm excited.
Not the most famous Jake Bird, by the way.
Oh,
there was a serial killer in the 40s.
Oh, how
dreadful. Don't get you here started on that. We were doing some of that kind of stuff before the show.
Just letting you know.
Oh, yeah, we were.
I am curious, though, Brendan. Did you ever have a serial killer phase where you were, like, kind of reading some books and just interested in, like, God?
I thought you were asking a different question there for a second. Yeah, I was like, hard no, actually. I've never felt like
you got to feel the whole thing.
You never know where Patrick is going.
Yeah, I was like, are you asking me if I've ever wanted to serial kill people? No. No, I have never had a serial killer phase. I'm not. This really is the closest I've had to one, is looking one up on the air.
This is now. The serial killer phase.
I'm just trying to take my role on Name Corner very seriously on this podcast.
You hear, are you really deep into this phase right now, or has this just always been?
Well, it's about 10 years deep, 15, okay. So since I was a kid almost. So.
This is a thing. I mine didn't last very long. I did read Helter Skelter, and it gave me nightmares. It is a very good book about the Manson murders. Hmm. And then read something about John Wayne Gacy. But that was more inspired by Sufjan Stevens. You know, he had that whole Illinois album. All right,
here we go. We're in it.
Does anybody else want to have like an indie rock podcast? Because I can
indie
hold my own on
indie
that.
Rock serial killer podcast?
Indie rock, alt, college rock.
Yeah.
We can go deep on that.
No? For those curious, the Tacoma Axe Killer was Jake Bird's name. Hmm. If that rings any bells, Patrick.
Or it does quite a bit.
Oh, there we go.
Tacoma Axe Killer. And if you strike out a lot of guys.
I know. It's interesting. So, it's there.
Just Seattle in general.
It's a nickname option.
Jake Bird went to UCLA. So, all right, go ahead. You hear while we're
looking. Oregon in general just had a lot of serial killers. Oregon was like full of them. That whole Northwest region of the U.S.
The Pacific Northwest is just full of serial killers?
Yeah, that in Vancouver were just full of people killing other people.
What is it? Is it because they don't get enough sunshine? It's always like cloudy and rainy?
People don't know. There's just a lot of bad things happening up in that region.
So his high school was in Santa Clarita, so he could be the Santa Clarita Axe Killer.
Hey, dude, I'm just saying that'd be a really cool nickname.
That really is. He strikes out his fair share of hitters.
Yeah, all right.
Well, let's see how he does.
On the table.
We'll have to see if we actually get that kind of a tweet out. And if it does get out,
oh, I wouldn't tweet
y'all
that.
Can peep it.
Are we?
Oh,
this man. What? This man.
Are we peeping tweets?
I think we are.
Are we peeping them tweets?
You heard the peep my tweets dog whistle went off. Let's peep some tweets, Susie.
Hello. All right. So this was something that was kind of blowing up on social media earlier this week. So the Angels. Let's talk about the Angels. DNVR Angels. So we know on Tuesday they fired their manager. And then later they lost in extras to the Red Sox. Oh, so on Wednesday, they decided to do an entire vibe overhaul. And they all every single player changed their walk-up song to a Nickelback song.
Did they get to pick the Nickelback song? I didn't find out about that.
You know what? I didn't see. I don't know. I just know that they did it. So Alden Gonzalez was the first one to tweet this, and it absolutely blew up. He said that, yeah, the coaches wanted to shake things up. So if they snapped out of that streak, it would have been thanks to Nickelback.
Did they win that game, Susie?
They did not.
That's my favorite detail.
I don't think. I think
they did not win.
Did they win Saturday night?
They won one of these nights.
Against the Mets.
They won last night.
Saturday.
Did they?
That's yes, Saturday.
They did. Yes, they did. They did. Okay.
Last
they
night was right. Saturday night. We were recording on Sunday.
So here we go. Do we know where Nickelback came from? Or did the coaching staff be like, we are going to play the worst band we can think of to really get you guys to not worry about walk up and all that other BS?
I wish.
Right? Like, was that the impetus for
it? I wish I had more information. But, I mean, it seems like let's pick the most shocking thing. And Nickelback is so polarizing.
This is true.
Are they? I mean, are there multiple polls? Is there another poll?
Is there another poll?
on the opposite side of, like, not
well,
great,
there's on one side, people are like, Nickelback is the worst band ever. And then on the other side, people are like, are they that bad?
And then
That's the other side.
The other side is people saying, look at this photograph.
I'm not going to lie. I did own that album when it came
out. Oh, me too, man. I was in middle school.
Do you know when it came out?
No.
9/11.
Did it really?
Not a lie.
Oh.
Yes. It was a big CD purchasing day.
That's right.
I bought 4 CDs that day to try to get through. I was very close to as you would have been.
Sure.
Fabulous, The Blueprint by Jay-Z, Nickelback, and POD. That's what I was listening to on 9/11.
Wow. Weird, huh? Heavy stuff.
That's a shared experience, man. That Nickelback album was because I was young enough that I was unironically like, this is good.
Yeah.
You know, this is how, You Remind Me. Do you guys remember that song? Remind Me.
Personally, yeah. I never made it as a wise man. So I connected. I really did.
All right. Speaking of Nickelback lyrics, this is why we're here. Tweet for us to peep.
Okay.
So this is the final score that night. The Angels lose 1-0 to the Red Sox. To quote Nickelback song Rockstar, it's like the bottom of the ninth and I'm never going to win. So
that's one of the lyrics in that song?
That's a lyric. And that was a great tweet from Sam Bloom.
Props to Chad Kroeger, man. You can see the future.
Nickelback is a baseball band.
That's right.
I think
Let
the record show.
That Nickelback is a baseball band.
Nickelback is America's pastime.
Aren't they Canadian?
Yeah, they are. Chad Kroeger.
But Nickelback is America's pastime.
Are they? I had no idea.
Did you know the lead singer was like married to Avril Lavigne for a minute?
Oh, really?
Also Canadian.
The dead one or the real one?
Oh, we're not getting into this conspiracy theory.
Is this some more serial killer stuff? We need to be
some
more
tweets. Do you not know this conspiracy theory?
On Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my gosh. So there's a theory that the Avril Lavigne we see today is actually a body double because the original Avril Lavigne either disappeared or died.
Yo, who's putting that much work into it?
So, like, people have, like, done all this.
Why not just announce Avril Lavigne's death? Like, why get a double?
People insist that there is a body double because they're like, oh, her voice sounds different from when she was younger. It's like, okay, people change. I don't know.
And as we all know, without Avril Lavigne, society would crumble. So
yeah,
people can't know the truth.
Exactly. I mean, look, we all saw that documentary called Dave, where Kevin Kline became the president because he looked like the president. I think that's probably happened with Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
So I'm going to co-sign that.
Yeah. All right, let's peep some more tweets.
Let's
peep. Because we're still in the Nickelback topic. I liked this one. Oh, we do have a graphic. Well, it's to no one's surprise, playing a lot of Nickelback isn't conducive to scoring.
Ooh,
that's a good tweet.
It's so good.
You're definitely going to get shut out.
I retweet that.
To Nickelback.
Oh,
I retweet that.
I think I might have. Well, I at least put it on my Rocky show. And then I liked this other one from Jessica Kleinschmidt, friend of the program. Every player took a BuzzFeed quiz to determine which Nickelback song they were.
That's awesome.
Is that legit?
No.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I don't know, actually.
That's really
Angels
funny.
Management just trying anything.
That's very
Hey,
good.
Take this quiz real fast.
Yeah, hey guys.
They sent it to the group chat.
The quality control coach handed out a survey.
I would really like for us to come up with that kind of technology on the DNVR website for people to like plug in their information to find out
that kind of technology.
What blank they
you
are.
You mean a BuzzFeed quiz?
We need to make some BuzzFeed quizzes.
Yeah, we'll get on.
What Rockies reliever are you? What Denver mascot are you?
It's more which DNVR personality are you?
Oh, yes. I like that too. I like that. You know what?
You're such a Susie, you know?
Is that an insult or a compliment?
You said that like an insult.
Exactly.
You said it like an
he
insult.
Did say
no,
it
I
an
said
insult.
Like two gals.
Patrick
just
is so
out.
Catty.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Catty Patty.
He's in a mood
today. Catty Patty over here.
Catty stats. Okay.
Catty stats. We put it out there on Twitter. I wanted to know what if the Rockies got to this point where they needed a total vibe overhaul, what artist should they all walk out to? Of course, I voted Taylor Swift because I know that everyone is a secret Swiftie,
right?
Whether they'll admit it or not. I put it out there on Twitter though, so I had some. We got some good answers. We got some good answers. Josh said Kidz Bop.
I like that.
Kidz Bop is a good one.
I very like much like that.
Yeah. Someone else said the Tree Farm jingle.
If we're looking, I mean,
very Colorado specific.
I really feel like they hung Nickelback on the team to really like kind of embarrass them almost in a weird way. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Coaching staff wouldn't want to do that. But if you want just better vibes, but a little tribe called Quest. I mean, you could just hit any track.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, I imagine up in the, you know, the media area that they have with the announcing booths and all that, they got to have like a 6 CD changer in there, I'm guessing. I mean, it's 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you think they might have an 8 CD changer.
I'm thinking maybe. I'm thinking they're probably past CD changers even.
Ten. Maybe. 10 CD changers.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's
2 5s.
Just keep bumping the number.
2 5 spots. And then, yeah, you just take any
Patrick
track.
Is from another time.
Another planet.
Oh, I see where you're going with. Right. Someone plugs their iPod in. Anyway,
yep, that's what I was thinking.
Even iPods are outdated. Yeah, what are we talking about?
We're on to Bluetooth now, dude.
No, someone's got their Spotify playlist. We don't use aux cords anymore. What?
Well, if you want a really good sound of what it was like in the studio, they could hook up their phonographs, right? If you get the correct chords,
look
right?
Look at this phonograph.
We're going back.
How are we close to an hour?
I feel like we've been on for like 2 hours.
I almost tweeted out. I was like, I think we got 90 minutes of material today.
Yeah.
We're going to push it. We could just chop this up into like 5 episodes and we're just done for the week.
Yeah.
You know, we could just do that.
We might do that. Don't tell anyone. This is our secret, guys.
Wednesday's pod is just going to be the Nickelback chunk.
The Nickelback hour.
That's it. Do we have any non-Nickelback tweets to peep?
To peep.
Yeah. So actually, our good friend Justin Michael said that the Rockies should all walk up to 1-877 cars, you kids.
Oh. It's actually funny. That was
so obnoxious.
Very.
Yes. And those are the tweets to be peeped. Did I get all of them?
I like peeping tweets. Here,
oh my gosh, look at the graphic.
That's a good graphic.
I will actually make. I should make that my Twitter cover photo.
Double layered, too, because you're an enemy of the birdwatching community.
I am an enemy
you
of the birdwatching community.
Well, an antagonist.
Aren't large enough to be like real quality binoculars, a.k.a. binos. They almost look more like opera glasses. You know what I'm saying? Am I speaking my language? Binos?
A.k.a. binos.
Yeah, dude. This is what birdwatchers say. Binos.
I prefer to call them knockies.
I think they actually call them binox, don't they?
I've heard binox.
Binox?
We go binox.
Binox.
My friend Jennifer X. Williams has her binoculars that she brings to games. She's a sports reporter out in New York.
I like that.
She calls them binox.
I brought binoculars during the pandemic season when they had summer camp and they were just training.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, okay, who are some of these people? Who's out there on the field? We learned Tony Walters cut his hair off. And I literally held up my phone to my binoculars to get a photograph of him without his long hair.
Oh my gosh.
Because journalism.
Good old papers.
Journalism.
Yeah, Tony Papes.
Tony Papes.
How was the photo? Was it a good photo?
It was.
Did anyone look at this photograph?
Yeah, people checked it out over on @DNVR_Rockies on Twitter. Or maybe it was from my personal account. @PatrickDLyons on Twitter.
How did you make that a segue? Unbelievable.
This is how we're wrapping up the show.
It's such a weird skill.
Swiss Army Knife, Segue Army Knife.
He's so good at it.
It's incredible. Well, on that note, I am the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
And I am the Brendan Vogt. No, wait, that's not right. I'm Brendan Vogt at Twitter. That was genuine. That
common
wasn't
spelling.
A bit.
At Twitter?
On Twitter.
So you just go to twitter.com and then...
Just follow Susie. Her tweets are better.
Guys,
I retweeted Brendan. Don't worry.
The Rockies had a winning road
Let's
trip
go.
In California. They did it. That's momentum, folks. We've got a little bit of momentum, but true momentum is only as good as your next show. So we will talk to you tomorrow.